Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Last week we began our series looking at commitment through the eyes of Paul's second letter to Timothy. Last week we noted that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him to keep rekindling his faith, instructing Timothy to fan into flames the gift of God. And so we began by looking at what it is to rekindle our faith, by identifying who or what we are committed to, recognising we are not alone, and realising that we don't need to be afraid to show our commitment to God because he is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So as we continue to read through 2 Timothy, we find that this week, Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay committed and faithful in the face of faithlessness, to remain loyal when others are disloyal. So I'm going to read from 2 Timothy, starting at chapter 1, verse 15, and going on to chapter 2, verse 13. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not afraid of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not changed. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may attain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So we see that Paul starts this section of his letter with an honest outpouring of his struggles with disloyalty of those he thought he could rely upon. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. We can sense Paul's pain here as he speaks about how everyone had abandoned him. Now, clearly, not everyone in the whole province of Asia had abandoned him, but this exaggeration shows the depth of his anguish, pain, and sense of loneliness and betrayal from those he called friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. He is particularly aggrieved by the two that he mentions. Perhaps these were the leaders of the group who turned away from Paul. But then Paul moves straight to a beautiful contrast, from the disloyalty of Phygellus and Hermogenes to the generous love and commitment of Onesiphorus. It is clearly a blessing and a balm to Paul's pain for him to know that there are those who remain committed and faithful, both to God and to the church, by supporting those in need in the church, of which Paul was certainly one at this point. Paul's joy at having the support of Onesiphorus is evident through the calling and praying for mercy and blessing that Paul does over him. So Paul uses these examples of disloyalty and loyalty as a springboard to move on to encouraging Timothy to be strong and remain committed even when faced with others falling away or even actively opposing the work of God. And this strength comes not from ourselves, but from God, through the Holy Spirit at work within us. Having just given two very real examples of his own experiences with loyalty and disloyalty, Paul instructs Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Beginning the sentence with that emphatic "you," followed by "then," makes it clear that what Paul says next should be considered in the light of what he just said. So the instructions for Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus is directly related to the struggles both Paul and Timothy had been facing with those who are disloyal and faithless. Paul knows personally how difficult it is to remain committed in the face of struggle, disloyalty, and opposition. He also knows that the only way anyone can stand firm against such things is by remaining strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. By human strength, anyone would crumple under the pressure. But by relying on the grace of God, Christ's disciples can remain standing. Because Paul knows that the Holy Spirit works to enable us to withstand whatever is thrown at us, he entreats Timothy, "Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Paul uses this image of a soldier to demonstrate the commitment that a disciple should have for Christ, no matter what situations they face. We know that war is horrific and traumatic for all. And yet good soldiers are able to follow the orders of their commanding officers to go into places that are horrendous. A good soldier tries to please his commanding officer. The commitment of a soldier to their commanding officer was particularly true of the soldiers in the Roman army. All soldiers swore an oath of loyalty towards Rome and the emperor. They were then assigned their position, and a good commanding officer would ensure that his soldiers knew him, loved him, trusted him, and would follow him everywhere, even when a situation seemed hopeless. Jesus is our commanding officer. It is to him that we owe our loyalty and devotion. And it's to him that we follow, even when we are in the midst of hardship, when it's hard to see the path ahead. How do we live lives in a manner that tries to please him? Do we have the devotion to Christ that a good soldier has to their commanding officer, even during those hard times? Another part of remaining committed to God by relying on his strength is the importance of passing on the good news of the gospel. Paul says to Timothy, "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Paul spent his life, since meeting Christ, teaching people about him and sharing the good news with anyone who would listen. And so he charges Timothy to do the same. Pass on the message about Christ and pass it on to others who will pass it on to yet more others. It might seem slightly strange that Paul speaks about passing on the gospel straight after he spoke about the troubles he had with those who turned against him. But Paul is actually reminding Timothy to keep his focus on his true task and not get distracted or overwhelmed by those who want to oppose God's plan. Paul was encouraging Timothy to remember what God had called him to do and to focus his attention and efforts on teaching people who will listen and learn about Jesus, rather than fighting and debating and arguing with those who are disloyal or disbelieving in Christ. This seems to reflect back to Jesus' advice to the disciples when they were being sent out to share the good news amongst the towns and villages. In Mark 6:11, he says, "And if any place will not welcome you or listen to them or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." This is not to say that we do not engage with people who don't believe in Christ, but rather to allow the Holy Spirit to help us discern who is truly open to hearing the good news, as opposed to those who just want to criticize and fight and argue. It is possible that Timothy had become distracted by trying to confront the cynics and the skeptics, and had forgotten his true calling to teach and grow new disciples. Paul therefore says, focus on passing on the word to reliable people who will continue to pass it on. And he uses the illustrations of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer to demonstrate the single-minded focus we must have in following God. Now, we've already explored the image of a soldier, and in a similar way, the pictures of the athlete and farmer demonstrate the same committed focus. In speaking about the athlete, Paul says, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the crown, victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. This is a reminder that we are called to follow God's rules, not because we have to win his favour, but because we love him and are committed to his ways. Paul mentions this to urge Timothy not to be discouraged or intimidated by those who were causing trouble and being disobedient to what Jesus had taught them. Paul then uses the final image of the hard-working farmer to show Timothy the importance of diligent and committed work, as it has its results. Therefore, Timothy should continue to teach and nurture new disciples, helping them to pass the gospel on to others, even if there might be times where it seems like progress is slow. Sometimes we find we can get overwhelmed by different things, and it tries to divert us from the path of following Christ and sharing him with others. Perhaps this might be hardships and difficulties that we are experiencing. Like Paul also experienced his hardships in prison. Or it might be opposition from others, such as Timothy was facing. Or it might be something that is unique to you and your situation. Satan is persistent in trying to turn us away from God, which is why it is essential we stay committed by seeking the strength of God given to us through the Holy Spirit. So Paul has given this charge to Timothy, and he reminds Timothy about who Jesus is. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. And then he encourages Timothy further by reminding him that we are joined with Christ. Paul speaks about this by repeating a trustworthy saying which reaffirms the connection between Jesus and his disciples. He uses this to reiterate the importance of staying committed and faithful to Christ. The first two statements of this trustworthy saying are positive if clauses that remind us that commitment to Christ is worth everything we might face. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Paul reminds Timothy that Jesus died for us so that we can live. But this also means that we need to die with him. We need to die to ourselves and our selfish wills. By dying to ourselves, we rise to live with Jesus, determining to commit ourselves to him and live our lives for him. In living for Christ, there are trials we have to endure. The Bible gives no illusion of the fact that the Christian life is hard. But Paul reminds us, if we endure, we will also reign with Christ. If we want to receive the victor's crown, we must endure to the very end. The last two phrases of this trustworthy saying are negative if statements, which remind us of the consequences of disobeying Jesus and turning away from having this loving, committed relationship with God. He says, if we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If we choose to disown Jesus and live our lives as if God does not exist, then we make the choice to face judgment without the protection of Jesus. Disowning Jesus leads to him disowning us at the moment of judgment. We need Jesus to remove the stain of sin, of all the times that we have disobeyed God. But if we disown him, we choose to disconnect ourselves from the only one who could save us from ourselves and our own disobedience. This is because no matter how faithful or faithless we might be, God is always faithful to what he says. What God has promised remains true no matter what. When we make promises, we often struggle to keep them as we intended. But God is faithful to everything he says. If we are faithful to him, God will follow through on his promise to save us through the grace given to us by Jesus' death and resurrection. But if we are faithless, God will still be faithful in following through with his promises, the promises that speak of judgment and punishment for those who do not come to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. God remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. He does not go against what he has said. We have the choice of whether we stay committed and faithful to Christ or live life our own way and face God's judgment at the end of times. What choice do you make? So as we reflect back upon what we have been thinking about this week, we recognise that there are times when we experience the love and loyalty of fellow believers who go out of their way to help us in times of need. But we also experience the pain of disloyalty as people turn away from God and or us. But no matter what we face, we need to remain committed to God. And the only way we accomplish this is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This means relying on God's strength in times of hardship and trusting the Holy Spirit to help us as we pass the message on so others can hear the good news too. And we do all this because we are joined with Christ in his suffering, his death, and his risen life. We are a new creation in Christ. As Paul says in Galatians 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.